Okay, here we are on a Wednesday morning, which means at 9 o'clock it's time for Medicine on Call, and the doctor is in the house. I'm delighted to see Dr. George. It's always a pleasure when you come in. I know it's a pain in the backside to come out at times, but it's always a pleasure when you can come in.
Well, same here, Dave. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, I guess, since the new year. Every day, there's just some sort of news story that just, you think it can't get worse, and it just does. I don't know if you heard that they're thinking of closing the Small Business Administration.
No.
I'm not surprised. I mean, because that seems to be the way things are working. You know, if you have an independent business, no matter what it is, you are under attack. Doctors.
Everything.
Everybody.
If you don't mind me taking more than 2 seconds. But anyway, I didn't realize Monday when I came in. I was working in the office next door, and I didn't pay any attention other than the fact that it kept being cool in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the maintenance people, I saw him. I was doing a show and saw him keep going into the office next door. And we had vandals break out the window or put a big hole in it anyway. And so they came in this morning and put plywood on it. But I was talking to the guy, and then shortly thereafter talking to my banker. And the guy that was replacing or taking out the broken window and putting in a piece of plywood was saying, well, it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks before we get the glass in.
Why so long?
Well, interestingly enough, he said, 5 years ago, does that mean anything, 5 years ago? He said, we would have had the glass in and had it replaced in about 2 days, 3 days at the outside. But he said, because everybody's working short crews and it trickles all the way down to the installer, it's taking 4 to 6 weeks to get special orders. And he said, there's nothing I can do about it other than apologize, but, you know, I can't get the glass. I can't get the new one. And I said, well, that sounds like Obama. And he said, yeah, exactly. People are short. What can you say? And I was talking to my banker shortly thereafter, and he said, oh, yeah, we're hearing and seeing those stories daily where, you know, people have been forced to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a trickle-down effect. It
absolutely is. I can tell you on the medical side, I get weekly alerts, it seems like, that the hospitals are short of something, some medication that they don't have. It was an anesthetic at one point. I think it was, I don't know if it was propofol at one point. That was one. Some pain medications, things for inpatient on the IV side. It's just daily. And then the other side is recalls because of the quality of the product is terrible. So there's some change in our pipeline. I don't know if it's coming from China. I'm looking at labels specifically so I don't get anything from China if I can help it. I think it's complete crap, and I don't trust it. I mean, they killed pets years back. They put the stuff, the melamine in the baby milk, and they were, you know, there's no sense of, in some instances that we can tell, the lead in the toys. It's just shoddy. And it's cheap, and it's not worth the stuff. You know, people need to, again, make up their minds. We have our own destiny in our hands right now, specifically now. And if we have a choice whether we take control of our own destiny, and that means it may cost a little more, it may take longer to get, you may have to put more legwork into it, but if you actually start using folks that you know, neighbors, neighborhood shop, anything that's staying local, whether you're going to eat it or buy it, that's going to help the economy, and that's going to help you as a community and you as an individual. Instead of expecting, you know, you get what you pay for, basically. You want cheap health care? It's coming. It's here. And when you realize it, how it affects you, you're going to wish you didn't do it.
Isn't that sort of an oxymoron, cheap health care?
Yeah, it is an oxymoron. I should explain that. It's going to be more expensive, but the quality of it will be like from something from China. no question about it. It's a cookbook. It is, you know, it's not about individualized health care. I didn't listen to the inauguration speech. I couldn't watch it. It was like D-Day to me. But I did hear one thing, you know, when they started talking about the highlights of the speech, and collectivism was the theme of that speech. We've been talking about collectivism on and off for the last 2 years. That is the good of the many outweighing your rights, the supposed good of the many. And what that really comes down to is centralized planning, centralized wealth, centralized, you know, intellectual power. We've been fed a whole bill of goods about how fabulous everything should be and how it's unfair that people who work for things are taking it from people who are sitting out and waiting for someone to hand them something. And it's just, it's like watching an alternate universe unfold, frankly. All these money, government programs that are coming down the pipe, I'm sure if you watch any TV, it's always about some sort of education connection. You can get this degree. What that's really doing is putting people in debt. Not everybody should go to college. Not everybody wants to go to college. And it's not geared for everybody. So by putting everybody in this path or this mindset of I deserve to go to college, I'm definitely going to have a better life if I do go to college, doesn't really bear out in terms of the facts. What we really should be talking to folks about is being an entrepreneur, about owning your own, about using your own intellect to pull yourself up so you don't have to depend on something else other than yourself, specifically the government. They're not into helping you. They're into enslaving you. And if you think you're going to get a handout, you got another thing coming. It comes with strings. This is pretty clear where this is going. If you look at New York, that seems to be the New York and California, but New York recently, the template of what's coming. You've got Bloomberg sitting there a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half, talking about they want to decrease the amount of medication, pain medicine that's dispensed in hospitals. And his whole attitude was, oh, well, people just have to suffer a little. Are you kidding me? Really? Nobody, not a doctor stood up, not a New Yorker said, what are you talking about? So it's okay for someone to have cancer or sickle cell anemia or something with chronic pain to end up in an ER and just get a couple of pills and you know, here's a stick to chew on. What are you going to give them? I mean, just the callousness, the hubris, it's just unbelievable. And as a nation, we empowered this. We said it was okay for them to think for us, to tell us what's good for us, to tell us, you know, what should make us happy. And here you go. This is just the beginning of a slippery slope.
You know, yeah, I agree. And it's, I've seen good friends that share my opinions. I thought, at least they prescribed to that. And yet I reached out to them, not for money, not for anything other than support, and they said, I just want them, not right now. And it's like, there was an internet picture going around of a bunch of sheep lining up to go to the inauguration, and that's what we are, and it's sad. However, I am seeing more and more people coming back, and they are really upset. And I'm like you. I couldn't watch anything Monday or Sunday, for that matter. But one of our hosts called me and said, "Did you ask if I'd watch it?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you know, I've never seen a president so mad." That, I mean, he was blatant in his inaugural address. He said, "This guy hates us. He hates America," and he said, "I couldn't argue one way or the other. I hadn't seen it, but we are on a very slippery slope. I think that's why they've taken ammunition off the shelves."
Well, it's it's a combination of things. It's like they want to bait people to gin up enough disturbance that they'll have excuse to bring down a hammer. I say, you know, don't give anybody any ammunition, so to speak, but stand up. I really appreciated those, the demonstrations that took place about the Second Amendment across the country. Those were totally appropriate. No violence, just expressing what you feel. This is the Constitution. You got a ton of, not, you know what, it's not a ton of people either. It's a small minority with a big mouth and a bully stick and a bully pulpit trying to browbeat the rest of us. Using, and I think psychologically, we're all, if you've gone to school and you've been socialized, especially in this country, there's a level of respect authority that comes into play. And there's a level of, you know, be a team player that comes into play here. So you have people being bullies while they're calling the other side bullies. It's complete psychological warfare. And because you are a decent individual, you don't really want to, you don't want to stand up for yourself because you feel it's rude. This is where we have to let that go. This is back against the wall. If you don't stand up and they keep saying something as if it's true and it's not, eventually, I don't know if they're trying to manifest it. You say it long enough, then all of a sudden it's true. This is ridiculous, but that's what's happened. So you have gun owners now, and it's, you can just see the meme. It's on everything from talk shows to the news to these little, what do you want to call these, nighttime shows, the same meme. Oh, if you're a gun owner, you're racist, or you hate the country, or you're a bully. I mean, give me a break.
I can't see any relationship in owning a gun and being racist.
Well, yeah, or you're a Klan member. I mean, it just went on and on. Or you must then just put, you know, you're a Southerner, you hate black people. It's just 24/7. And so you have someone who's a decent individual, not really political, but doesn't like the tone of that and does not want to be associated with it because their mindset is, well, I don't want to be a bad person, so it must be okay to get rid of God. Are you kidding me? But they never put the other side on where you've got the mother who, you know, somebody broke into her house, she ran into a crawl space, the king kept coming, and she was able to protect herself and her children. So she was not another victim, you know?
Let's take a break, and then I don't know if you've seen Holder's latest thing, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and light weight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat 3 well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with 2 snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, we're back on Medicine on Call, and Holder came out. This was one of my emails this morning. That Holder's come out that he has researched the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and no place does it say that individuals can bear arms. And just like you said, it couldn't be any more black and white.
No, it can't be.
It's there. Everybody knows it's there. And this is what the whole... But what's the old saying? You tell a lie long enough and enough time.
You keep saying it, and then it somehow you believe it becomes the truth. And unfortunately, we're in a society where nobody checks anything. Look at this football player, just as an example. Nobody looked up anything. Nobody did any due diligence. Nobody does anything. They just take someone's word, and the more photogenic they are and the better, the more well-spoken they are, then it must be true. We are victimized by that same mentality all the way through this government. I don't care. You could come up, crawl out of bed in a house coat. I don't care what you look like. It's what you say. And it's what you do. It's not what you say. It's like Hollywood has infiltrated the government. It's all propaganda. And that's just one symptom of the society. So you've got, you give a good story, you make it somewhat believable, but if you peel it back, it's nothing believable. It just doesn't even make sense. But nobody critically thinks at all. You know, ultimately, it's about laziness. It takes energy. It takes time. And it takes commitment to actually do due diligence. But at this point, if you're not doing it, you've got nobody to blame but yourself when you end up in a FEMA camp or on a breadline eating GMO crap, waiting for a handout. You've got no one to blame but yourself. And I've noticed, and we talked about this in the break, a systematic demonization, devaluing of anybody who is intelligent and who actually can think ahead and start to think of what if. I need to be prepared in case what if. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you un-American. That doesn't make you a bully. It doesn't make you a racist. It doesn't make you a sexist. You don't want people to die because of it. This is what they're doing. It's not like I disagree with you. You're a baby killer. You wanted those children to die. You're happy that this happened. You want more guns to do it to other people. That's their rhetoric, and nobody calls you on it. You've got Schieffer talking about gun owners and Hitler in the same breath. Are you nuts? And I bet you he's from Texas and has how many guns in his home? Or, these Hollywood types with bodyguards? Or Dianne Feinstein with a concealed carry permit herself? Think about these things. What are they saying to you? Gabrielle Giffords was a gun supporter before she was shot. We don't even know what she thinks now because she's just propped up and paraded around like some sort of victim in a way for people to feel sorry, because ultimately this is what they're doing, Dave. And I think Dr. Blank and I talked about before. You talk about, you get someone's emotion involved. You get them riled up. You get to the lizard brain where they're not thinking anymore. They're just reacting. And you got them. And this is what they've done. That's that whole inauguration speech. It wasn't about the economy. It wasn't about jobs. It was about the things that all the hot button issues. Global warming, which doesn't exist. Gay marriage, which is, whether you're for it or against it, it's an aside right now until the economy in the country is stable. This is all window dressing. It's great if you can get married, fabulous, but you're going to be married on a breadline. Do you really want that? Once your bank account gets emptied out because you're going to have a bank holiday, which I'm sure the economy is going south, that's inevitable. What are you going to do? Who cares? But everybody's all about, look at the shiny thing, or somebody's trying to get one up over me, like Phil Mickelson. He's an idiot because I would never have apologized. You're going to apologize because you don't want to give up money that you earned, and they're calling him selfish. How are you selfish when you're working your butt off? I don't know how many hours a day it takes to practice. It's his profession. I respect it. It's hard to do. A neurosurgeon, a nurse, whoever decides that they're going to put the time in, the sacrifice, what gives someone sitting on the couch the right to say, well, You make too much. You need to give it to me.
But, you owe me, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you owe me. Who's going to take care of me? Get your butt off the couch and start working. Or make your own thing. Don't even wait for someone to give you a job. Create something. There's no creators. Well, those that are getting really wiped out.
Yeah, you know, it almost, and they've done a heck of a job of dumbing down, whatever you want to call it. It's, you know, it started in universities, colleges and universities in the 50s. And this is why, you know, maybe I am I'll just come out. I am a conspiracist. I think there is a conspiracy, and I think it's been going on since the 50s. I don't care what, you know, I'm not a conspiracist from the standpoint of pointing the finger, but it is an interesting thing. They've dumbed us down. You brought up the case about nobody's vetting anybody.
No.
Well, you know, I was a voting age, 21, 22, when Nixon came into his second term, and I'm not giving him credit for anything, but certainly less than what Mr. Obama has done as far as lies and cheating and stealing and whatever you want to call it. And there was a time that the two reporters and Deep Throat and all of this stuff, I thought, well, you know, they're just, I really took the side that they were just out to get Nixon, which probably deservedly so. But as it became more and more apparent that, and I had thrown up my hands long before and said, you know, why didn't Nixon just tell the people from the get-go, what you did was wrong, I didn't approve it, and you're going to jail, and it would have been over with. And if he had come out publicly and said, I didn't authorize these people to do that, that, you know, and then he just, when he started lying, he just dug his hole deeper and deeper in the 18-minute hum on the tape, and so, and I slowly changed to being very positive of the people that were exposing it. Where the hell are they today? We've been dumbed down so much that we don't know how to investigate.
Well, some of them have been knocked off. So that's part of the problem. And then you use whomever it is, as an example. And then those who are inclined to do it don't. You've got Assange. I don't know. He's got all sorts of hats that he wears, but ultimately he did expose a lot. He's hiding out in a consulate in South America somewhere. You know, Breitbart was an excellent investigative reporter. Journalist, and he died under questionable situation. You've got the guy who was against the piracy on the internet, who dies of, suicide, because the government was coming after him for something really, really petty, because they lost the first case. This is a bigger picture. I read a case about a doctor in Chicago. I think he was a vascular surgeon who was jailed for 10 years. Is it 10 years? 10 months? I think it's 10 years. For, they claim, an incorrect operative report, which is a chilling thing for any doctor. Now, this is not that he made up something. They're saying that the procedure that he performed was not as complex as his note suggested. Who are you to tell me what I'm doing in an operating room? And the people who were siding with the government were competitors who couldn't stand the guy because he was tops in his field, tops in that demographic in Chicago. So he was a threat, and they wanted him gone. And they had not enough clinical skill to match what he could do. So where does this stop? You have a doctor, you have a lawyer. Let's be frank. If it can happen to one segment of society, it's coming for you. Whoever thinks they're safe, and it's them and the other. It's in the ghetto, it's black people, it's young people, it's elderly. Whomever you're deciding, I'm not them, so it's okay. That's the template. Once they lay down the template, they just keep reproducing it on another segment of the society. It was okay when drugs were in black community. It was fine. You're taking people out left and right. When crystal meth came on board and it was starting to affect rural America, then there's people are up in arms about it. Cocaine is still running rampant through the country. but it's the crack people who were the people who they went for, and it was okay. Now you have people, I mean, it's just, wake up. The people who are on public assistance, you know, they're now being, they're going to be told, if they're not already, what you can eat and what your electronic benefit card is going to pay for. And we're like, oh, it's okay, they're obese, we should not, you know, don't let them eat this because we're paying for it. Well, look at Bloomberg now. Big gulps, popcorn. It's coming. It's all the same. And it's, now it's the senior citizens. We don't want to spend a lot of money on seniors because that's where all the healthcare dollars are going. Well, once you do it to them, it's the neonates next. And then it's people with chronic diseases. And there's people with cancer. And it's everybody who's not healthy. Well, you cost too much, so die.
Go die. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approach such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can in some cases stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And Dr. George, we all know that 2014 is the Obamacare big hit.
They're all hits, Dave. We've been hit already.
It's already started,
hasn't it? It's been started. The fact that it started about 2 or 3 years ago when it got passed, hospital consolidation, a huge game plan of buying up doctors' practices. I think 60% of doctors are now employed by the hospitals or out of private practice. It's working like a dream. They added, for those that are on the plantation, peer review, which we've talked about, and I want to get Dr. Huntoon on because he has an excellent article, couple out, that I didn't think I could be shocked anymore, but I still am. It's possible. So peer review makes you have to toe the line or you will be blackballed and you'll never practice medicine again. That's one side of the coin. The other now is a movement towards making doctors credential again. I passed my boards 14, 15 years ago. I have universal, I never have to re-credential. And you shouldn't. Once you go through residency program, pass 6 sets of boards, including the last one for your specialty, you're done. I can understand having to go and get, you know, take courses, etc. But no, these guys want you to re-credential, not by your academy, but by state boards, and you have to pass them in order to remain licensed and board certified, and that's going to cost you money. And it's arbitrary. It's not based on evidence-based. I'm an ENT. What am I going to credential in? Family practice? Why do I have to do that? But if I don't do it, I will no longer be in practice. So they're now making it soft. Some hospitals, some specialties require you do it. OBGYN is one. And I have colleagues in it, and they're always taking tests, and they're $1,000 a pop. They're already getting squeezed by your malpractice. Now you've got the other side where you're always taking tests, and you're always, oh, God, I got another one coming. If I don't pass it, I won't be able to recruit. I mean, what kind of life is that to live where you're every year you have to pass an arbitrary test or you can't practice your art, your craft? Has nothing to do with you as a doctor. As a matter of fact, I can see what's going to happen. Doctors who are self-thinkers, patient advocates, don't want to do the algorithm treatment, are going to be out of business because they're not going to want to play this game. Those who are going to retire, they'll do it like it'll be on, even more so. Those that are like myself, kind of in the middle, I have years to go. But I'm like, what else can I do? That's going to make me leave. Or, you know, I'm not going to stay around and do that. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a partner in this system that's not about health, but about control. I'm not interested in that. So you're not going to lose someone with 14 years of experience. I love what I do. I take great care of my patients. And I'm going to be out of this game. And all you're going to have left are the people who, the practitioners who are ancillary, which will become the centerpiece. I've said it and I'm saying it again because it's really happening in full force. Nurse practitioners, physician assistants, medical assistants, all those people that you see on TV with education connection and you can be, you know, in the healthcare profession 8 weeks, there you go. That's your doctor. That's your first line healthcare treatment option. And you have a doctor sitting in the background, signing off on things, never seeing a patient. Maybe they might let you do surgery, maybe. But by the time Obamacare kicks in and you have to jump through 10 billion hoops to get your eyes done for cataracts or a knee replacement, or God forbid, it's all priced out because the 5% surcharge on medical devices, they'll stop making advances. I know exactly what happens now, and this is like an Orwellian situation. You think you go to a hospital and you're going to get the best care. If you compare a hospital care to a private practitioner, there's already a difference. You wait longer to go to the hospital. It costs you 100 to 250% more to go to the hospital. And for ENT, a lot of times you're not going to get the state-of-the-art treatment. Balloon sinuplasty is one of the newest treatment options available for sinus. I can't actually do a sinuplasty procedure in an outpatient hospital-based center because they won't pay for it. So the hospital says, well, you can't do it here. So I can't even do coblation, which is another way to take tonsils out. You recover twice as fast. Hospitals don't offer the wand because they don't want to pay for it. The hospital's got in bed with the government, and they're about to get a major hit. So the government has decided, for example, they won't pay for certain things that go on in the hospital. You're out of luck. Tough. Just write it off. I can understand some of them, but not all of them. If you fall in the hospital and you break a hip, God forbid, the hospital won't get paid because that's a that's an incident that happened that the government deems it should never happen. Like, nothing's perfect. Things happen. If you get a wound infection after surgery, it happens. Someone's septic, you do surgery, the wound gets infected. That's not a bad doctor. That's not a bad hospital. But on that government list, it will not be paid for. I mean, it's like 10 things on that list. So now hospitals are going to eat it even more. Do you think they're going to really want to take advantage of anything that's new that may not get paid for on top of that? The answer is absolutely not. So now you've got a place where they're towing a line to stay in the guidelines of the government, you know, their compliance. They have to admit you for a certain number of days. They have to get rid of you by a certain number of days. They can't offer you state-of-the-art because it's not covered or paid for by insurance.
It's experimental, right?
Yeah, that's their new one. Yeah, it's experimental. If you're in the hospital and something happens to you, well, I don't know. Maybe they might get rid of you. I'm not sure how they'll play this, but they're not going to want to take a loss. What does that mean? If you're really sick and you come out of, let's play devil's advocate for a second. You've had a horrible infection. You're in the ICU. You're a senior citizen. You're on Medicare. And you're having a long pathway out of that ICU. You got a wound infection or you've got pneumonia after you've come out of surgery. They're going to start talking to your folks about, awesome. You bet. Or, you know, your loved one's in pain. Let's just give them a little extra morphine. This is how it works. It's insidious, and it's all about bottom line. It's about money. And the doctors don't have a choice in this anymore, because if they say, you know what, let me talk to the family alone. You're a bad doctor. You're disruptive. You're on peer review, and you're out of here. Done. It's like a Stepford situation. And it's going right into place where people are squawking about, oh, I'm so happy. I'm covered under insurance. Don't be happy. Now you're in the same system where I can't offer you things that I want to offer you because your insurance will say no and the government will come after me. And now this whole thing with the gun issue, I think it's another shiny thing moment, Dave. We're talking a lot about, oh, they want to take away our guns and, you know, they're breaching the Second Amendment. But underneath this, they're talking about psychological health, about mental health. And I have a feeling that what they really, really want to do is make psychological profiling the reason you can or cannot get a gun. Everybody will go, well, yeah, they were insane. It makes perfect sense. You can't have insane people get this. But the DSM is getting bigger and bigger in what's considered to be insane. So in the next round, the next iteration of DSM, which is the diagnostic Bible for psychiatrists, conspiracy theorists are, it's a mental disease now.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you know.
Committed to being crazy?
Yeah, you're not getting a gun. So they're just expanding. If you think, again, if you talk against the government, if you're, I'm sure bullying is going to be up there at some point. All of these things.
Communistic?
It sounds like everything old is new again. It's the same thing. It's the same playbook. It's the same we're going down the same historical path. Demonize the producers. Everybody's a victim. Divide and conquer. Take away education as a source of power. Now we've gotten even more advanced. We're taking away food as a source of power because food is making people sick. So you're so caught up. If you're caught up about with survival because you've got a family member, yourself, who's sick, you're out of the game. You're not paying attention to what's going on around you. Life moves on because you have your own thing you have to deal with. And it's like one every other family, every other person. Everybody now knows somebody who's sick with something. It's never been that way. You know, we're sitting here watching Congress vote things and vote against us time after time. And we keep thinking, this, you know, looking at something expecting a different result. It's not the president. You know, he can do X, Y, and Z. Whatever. It's the Congress. They're sitting there stamping it, co-signing it, coming up with different ways to cheat the system so that they can stay in power in one form or another while they're all working against us. They don't want us educated. They don't want us to defend ourselves. They don't want us to stay healthy. They don't want us to be independently wealthy, you know, our own family wealth. It's being sucked from us. And they're saying how much they care at the same time. And how if you stand up and say, wait a minute, this is wrong, you're the bad person. Something you don't care about little children because you're trying to protect yourself and actually warn people, this is not a good thing. Historically, I know you know this too, China, Japan, Russia, all these people who ended up in totalitarian societies, the people were disarmed before they did it.
Well, they burned the books. Then they disarmed them, and then they put them in boxcars. It's sort of like in Madison, Georgia, the FEMA caskets, three deep caskets that they've got. Billion rounds of ammunition. For what?
Yeah. Who are they arming against?
Yeah. Us.
I mean, you'd have to think it's not alien invasion, is it? So we're the ones sitting here with them. You have to think that it has to be us.
Sure.
And they've done a very good job of disarming us emotionally.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been a concerted effort. It's been years in the making, though.
Yep. You know, it's amazing. You know me well enough after 4 years that I'm not sitting here wringing my hands, but it's constantly on my mind. I have a pretty vulnerable home, and so what do I do when I'm at home? I walk around trying to figure out what I'm going to do, you know, which windows I'm going to block, how I'm going to block the doors, how I'm going to do this, what I'm going to do on my screen porch. I went out and bought extra solar alarms, and this just, it sucks from your practice of medicine, yeah, thinking about this stuff. It sucks from every business because the entrepreneur is thinking about this, and it's sucking from everything.
That's the plan, though. The plan is to defeat you, those of us who love our country and care and see this coming. It's about making you think that you've got no power. It's about defeating your will. So if you get inundated, it's like 1,000 cuts. You know, you just keep getting, what else? 4% here on your payroll. Your property taxes just went up. Your food costs just went up. You just got a pay cut this is my favorite now recently. It went from 35-hour work week to 30. And now there's an IRS rule that even if you have half-time employees, part-time, they're counted as full. So every two people is counted as one. So they're still getting you. I mean, every time, it's like someone's sitting there going, how can we screw people?
That's new math.
It is new math. But it's all about, even though you think you're wiggling away, we're coming up with something else to get you, like doctors. So if you do this qualification scheme, which is a scheme, a scam, if you really want to put it, and give us something else that we have to do on top of continuing medical education credits, I think they feel we're so beat down that, well, whatever. And the people coming out from medical school are grist for the mill. They don't even know. They don't even want to open up a practice. Give me a 9-to-5, give me a paycheck, and I'm good to go. Very sad. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to me.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, I'm Paisley McDonald with At Home with Paisley. And believe it or not, I really am over 12 years old. Please join me each week, Thursday at 3, for practical advice and stylish living for your home and office.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call. You know, every time you come out, I'm glad you bring a cuff and check my blood pressure when you leave, or right before you leave. And when it goes off the chart, I know who I'm going to call. And but I there's a lot of blood pressures. What I started to say about the flickering of a candle at the other end of the tunnel, and I promote it. God knows I promote this, and I bless and I pray, and I'm proud of some of the folks that I know. This administration, this whatever, whoever, all these people are, they don't understand. They haven't been on. They haven't been in the ditches. They haven't been entrepreneurs, literally.
No.
And they
no.
have missed the boat in that they have given. It's sort of like the famous statement by on the battleship after the attack on Pearl Harbor, "We have awakened a sleeping giant." Well, folks, that's what's happening for entrepreneurs. You've put a hell of a roadblock. The government has done everything, thrown mud, thrown everything they can at entrepreneurs. But they've awakened a bunch of entrepreneurs that are going to come back. You know, you can only work for 30 hours in my store or at this location, but if you travel a few miles over to my other store or to another gentleman's store, lady, whatever, you can work another 30 hours over there or 20 hours or whatever it takes to satisfy you.
Well, it'd be 29, actually, because anything at 30 above is full-time.
So, you know, the entrepreneurs are going to find different ways to beat the system.
The system will not work. But it's gonna hurt a lot of people, unfortunately. And it's going to benefit a very small amount of folks. It's already – who paid for this inauguration? It was the corporation, the special interest. I read something about $1 million and you get to have a finance meeting with, you know, government officials. What the hell? Nobody says – I mean, people – how can people be so hypocritical on the left side? I'm going to even call liberals. It's left, leftists. It's okay for you to run a corrupt gulag when it supposedly benefits you, but – when you're on the outside looking in, you were the first people to say how awful the system was and how cronyism was terrible. And it's okay when you do it. But the sad part about it, when the left does it, it affects everybody because they think they know everything. And they know what's best for everybody. When in actuality, they just want to control what the hell you're doing. So ultimately, and you said it in break. I think someone sent an email, but I'm going to say it again. We as individuals have more power than this system gives us credit for. We need to start taking it back. Stop shopping at Walmart and Target and all these huge box companies and go local. You control your own local economy. Stop going to, you know, Kroger or Publix to get your fruit or your meats. Go to local farmers. It's better quality. It's actually cheaper. You're not getting genetically modified pseudo food, and you're not going to kill yourself. Stop taking all these drugs, all of these pushers, these doctors out there who just give folks pills and don't even see them. That's a travesty. I will not treat my patients if you call me for treatment over the phone. I'm not interested in that. I can't diagnose you over the phone. And I care enough that I want to make the right call. If you don't need a medication, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to make sure you get healthy, not just band-aided, right? So it's time for patients, too, to stop accepting crap. You're now entering a system that's going to treat you like a number, could care less whether you live or die, wants to drug you with X, Y, and Z. Now they want to give people breast cancer medication preventatively. So tamoxifen, that family. So now they're going to put most women, if they had their way, it'd probably be a pill you have to start taking when you're 15. If they would love that. A daily pill that you take so that you don't get breast cancer. This is all that this system is about. It's about putting Band-Aids on things, controlling you, putting you in a situation where you're not healthy, but you're getting sicker, but you don't realize it because you're taking another pill to dumb you down to the fact that you're not better. They're telling you this. Look at those commercials for the depression medication, Abilify, for example. The whole purpose of that drug is to treat people who are on other depression medicines that aren't working. What does that tell you something? They don't work. And if they do work, they work for a short amount of time until your system gets acclimated to it, and then you need more. Then it stops working, then you move to another one. Next thing you know, you're on an antipsychotic. This is not a system of health. And the fact that people like the Pediatric Association can get, you know, have part of their platform say that it's okay to keep mercury in vaccines, I have a question mark. The fact that Dr. Oz can say with a straight face, organic food is not better for you, you're an elitist if you like organic food, is a question mark. No, it's not. It's just, I'm disgusted. He shouldn't even call himself a doctor. And I've heard stories that he won't vaccinate his own kids because he doesn't think they're safe. But it's okay to get on his show and say, get vaccinated. Get shot up with whatever they want to shoot you up with.
Well, didn't we talk last week on your show about on Fox, one of the doctors was saying, well, the flu vaccination is only 60% effective or some whatever, that they've really admitted to missing the boat. But everybody should go get it immediately.
Yeah, they're not even able to keep their own lies in check.
Yeah.
So the hypocrisy is not even hidden anymore. It's out there. How is someone going to tell you that organic food is not better than McDonald's? Really, with a straight face. Next thing you know, they're going to tell you, you need to have five, you know, Happy Meals a week to stay healthy. Some idiotic statement that they're going to make that some morons will fall into and do because it's on TV and Dr. Oz says it. Stop idolizing and worshiping people. That's another fault that we're having. You're worshiping false idols, ultimately. Nobody's higher in my mind than God. Not Obama, not anybody in Congress, certainly not a sports star or an actor. Give me a break. And people need to find God, whatever that is to you, something that's outside of these people. That's because it's killing you. And they don't have your best interest at heart. And they don't care whether you live or die. They don't.
Yeah.
If you need to, that's the first thing we need to figure out.
More people are interested in watching the ball drop on New Year's Eve. More people are interested in Dancing with the Stars. More people are interested in watching a football game than they are in reading a book or reading the Constitution. God, if everybody would just pick up a copy of the Constitution and read through it again and realize that we do have rights, you know, it would, it'd be amazing. But people are too lazy. They have their interests are. We did a show Monday, Michael Maloof, and I don't know if you listened or it's posted on our website under 1 o'clock on Monday. Michael Maloof was with the DOD for 20-some-odd years, and he has been warning the government for years about a potential EMP attack. Not only did we talk about that and how the government has just, you know, they've stuck their head in the sand and said, oh, it's not going to happen, or our missile defense will take care of it. Well, that's all well and good. We have missile defense on the left coast, but they never got around to installing it on the east coast. We've already had a Russian submarine pop up on the East Coast. But he said even more important than that is the, and I talked to him after the show, and then again on Tuesday, it's been starting, and it even was monitored this weekend, the sun flares, which are basically another form of an EMP attack, but by God, or by the sun, or whatever. And that the government is doing nothing. They have done nothing. They've totally tuned out the reality of the devastation this can have, that can cause. They don't care about us. That's the bottom line.
I mean, I think you need to watch movies now a little bit more closely. You know, that there's a whole show about after some sort of devastation of our ability to make power. I forget what that show is, Revolution or something, what it's called. They don't just put these things out idly. These things are part of things that are potentially could happen.
Red Dawn.
And it's exactly. And in some cases have already happened. You know,
it's coming, folks.
Well, you still have the power. That's my point. You don't have to be a victim. And the more people that stand up, the less likely these things would happen. They're expecting you to be compliant, to be polite, to say, okay, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's what they tread on. That is the power that they exert over us that makes us take our own power away from ourselves. Politically it's okay. Correct. That's the worst word in the English language because it got a lot of folks killed and it's getting a lot of people to go along with a system that does not benefit a single individual in this country.